welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we have another guest this week. People want to talk to us. It's like the reverse of high school. It's very, very strange. But this week, we are blessed to welcome one of the, I guess we could call him one of the elders of the haunted community. He's been around long enough to qualify. And also one of the wise ones, too, a consultant that has helped many, many haunts along the way. It is Brian Selecki of
Benjamin.
Benjamin. Screwed up the wrong. I've worked so hard on the last name. Benjamin Selecki from Haunted Farms of America and so many other things that we're going to get into. Benjamin, are you there?
I am here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for coming on. And there is a lot to go over with you because you have done so much, basically. It's a very lengthy roadmap. So take us back real fast to the beginning and your start in haunting.
Oh, geez. Well, going back, actually got my start as a scare actor at a local haunted farm. It was kind of funny how it all kind of came to be. My neighbor who had worked there on the farm as a scare actor one day just came to me and said, "Hey, man, you want to get paid to go scare the shit out of some people?" And I said, "Man, that sounds like fun. Let's go." So night number one, I was absolutely hooked and haven't looked back since. And so from there, really started out as a scare actor, kind of worked the way up the chain from there. And in a very short period of time, Alexis and I ended up producing the entire show, taking over everything from actor training and development to the marketing, scenic design, lighting design, the whole nine. So from there, we decided to kind of start Haunted Farms of America. But it was all kind of birthed out of kind of our love for haunting and love for farms. We kind of mashed two together, and it was just a good, great fit.
Now, you answered my next question was, how did you meet your partner, Alexis? Anyone who has met Benjamin at a conference knows he does not travel anywhere without Alexis, it seems. Like Jonathan and Crystal, it's Benjamin and Alexis. I think this. So you two met at that particular haunt, your very first gig.
We did, yeah. So she was also, she was acting there with her husband. They were a great team. And I remember when they had first kind of come in year one, you know, it was like right away, you can kind of tell they wanted to get more involved. And I mean, we all kind of worked together in the trenches kind of year one right out of the gate. And it's been a fun ride.
That is the perfect way to meet your haunt partner, as you would say, the person you're going to do so many projects with is in the trenches as you were. So Haunted Farms of America, it's a really, really interesting operation you run. We learned about it first at HauntCon
a few years ago.
It was like 3 or 4 years ago. And I've been absolutely fascinated by what you do. So explain to the nice people what you do.
Sure. So Haunted Farms of America is a community for farms who are either wanting to start some form of haunted agritainment or who currently have an agritainment operation and are really kind of looking to grow it and then really take it to the next level. It was kind of born out of kind of a hole in the market, really, when Alexis and I were kind of taking over the production over at the haunted farm that we worked at. And it seemed to us that a lot of the resources out there were really, really catered towards indoor attractions. And there wasn't really anybody who was targeting specifically farms as haunts. And we already had some roots there on the farm. We also helped with his daytime agritainment as well. It seemed like a hole that no real brand was addressing. So we said, you know what, screw it. Let's let's just start this thing. Let's start the community. Let's start producing content. Let's start kind of just putting ourselves out there. And if we can help anybody flatten the learning curve, or you know what I mean? Then it's worthwhile. We bring value. So,
and that's what I always loved about it, was that it's a community first, as you just said, but it's also a consultancy. It's, you know, it's a way to get very specific, pointed advice that I think, you're absolutely right, isn't very well served by others.
Yeah. What's the most often question you get asked by people who are looking to get into this?
I would say that it's people who, I think it kind of falls into two categories. Number one, people who are just kind of starting out, a lot of times don't really have a good idea of the kind of revenue that a haunted farm can really bring in. So the first kind of questions that we get are generally about the money. And sometimes that's just from a, you know, I'm trying to save the farm angle, or you know, I need to just add another profit center. And then you have the farms that are kind of, that have been established. And, you know, I think that a lot of the questions that we get are kind of stemming from the ingredients in the recipe to really kind of get over that hump, get over that threshold. It seems like a lot of haunted attractions get to a certain point and they kind of stagnate, attendance kind of stays flat, and they just really aren't sure how to just kick it up a notch and kind of get to that next level. So I think that those are probably the two biggest kind of themes that we see.
Okay. And you said something there that I think was something you touched on at your most recent talk at HauntCon. I was at attendance in that. And it was, I think, a very powerful and poignant reason for your existence. So you talked about how one of the things you're doing, one of the things that you have achieved, is that you help save family farms, which, and can in many parts of the country, is a dying tradition.
It is. I mean, I think it's harder and harder, right? I mean, to make ends meet and to really flourish, kind of growing produce or in the kind of traditional way that a lot of these guys have done, and guys and gals have done business. And so I think the name of the game, you know, in the kind of current landscape that we're in, is to diversify, find new ways to draw people to the farm, engage them, educate them, show them a good time, and kind of make them reconnect with the farm. And, you know, these guys just reap so many benefits in many other areas. So,
yeah. Well, you know, like I said, I think what you've been doing there is absolutely amazing. And if you do want to learn more about Haunted Farms of America, the address is farmhaunts.com. Go there and check it out. It's a lot of great stuff. And you even had a story at HauntCon about someone who, I can't remember who it was, his barn literally collapsed, like right before opening.
Yeah, that was a gentleman by the name of Tim Humphreys.
Yeah.
He was down in, at the time he was down in Virginia, and he was in the process of raising a barn, and he had just purchased the land. He was like literally starting from the ground up. He had no infrastructure there or anything. So he was building this thing from scratch. And, he had brought somebody in to help raise this thing. And, you know, long story short, the guy didn't do a good job, didn't really know what he was doing, and a storm came through, ended up, you know, blowing the whole thing down. And I mean, if you were, you know, you said you were in the seminar, the kind of panel talk, and so you heard him talk about, I mean, when that happened, he was at a point where he was just kind of ready to throw it in for that year. And he, you know, make no bones about it, you know, kind of largely credits the fact that he opened that year to Alexis and I, when that initially happened, and he reached out to us, he was devastated. And I mean, we obviously went through, you know, a lot of stuff with him, but in no uncertain terms, it was one of those things, man, you know, like pick your ass up, man, you know, like buckle down, do this shit. You got it, you know? And so it really, you know, it feels good. I mean, like, getting handwritten notes from these guys and stuff, like, it feels good, man. Like, this is why we do what we do.
And I'm glad to hear it. And like I said, supporting an industry that is often neglected, even by, you know, the haunt industry at large. So real fast, what are some of the challenges farm haunts would face that maybe an indoor attraction would not?
Right.
And maybe like the indoor, as indoor haunters, we don't think about this.
Right, right. I mean, first and foremost, weather is just one of the biggest challenges. I mean, it can obviously be a damper on an indoor attraction as well, depending on whether your queue line's inside, outside, whatever the case. But for these guys outdoors, man, I mean, weather can just croak you. I think you know, outside of that, the challenges that these guys are facing, you know, part of, you know, I think the balancing act is you're dealing with such a large venue, right? So these haunted farms are generally spread out over acres of land, and to be able to have a production that's spread out that wide, right, presents some logistical challenges that you might not face indoors. It also presents some challenges as far as how you're wrangling and you know, the customers, things like crowd control, emergency response, crisis response, because I mean, you're not dealing with a 3,000 square foot indoor controlled environment, you know, and so these things are very different. I think one of the other biggest challenges I think that faces the farm haunts particularly has to do with branding, and I think that because a lot of these guys, right, that they've spent, you know, decades or centuries, depending on how many generations the farm has been in the family, establishing their name, establishing their brand, and then along comes this haunted attraction, and now you're dealing with a different crowd, different customer base potentially, right, depending on what type of attraction they're producing. Mm-hmm. But it can definitely, I mean, it puts a lot of things in conflict, you know, butting up the kind of teenager who wants to see the, you know, extreme over the top stuff, balancing that with, well, how do I make sure that I don't turn off my mother with two kids, right? And to make her not want to come back. And so juggling kind of a dual brand like that is, it definitely takes a little finesse. So.
Yeah. And one of the things that actually I never thought about until it came up in one of your talks, I don't know if it was this year or another one I've been to, but someone talked about the challenge of lighting and powering a haunt that spread out. I had not actually even considered that, and I've been to farm haunts, and I never once thought, where is this light coming from? I should be paying closer attention to these things. But yeah,
to be fair, we don't have a lot in our area.
No, to be fair, yeah, we don't actually. But our part of Louisiana is actually kind of not haunt agritourist friendly, I think. We don't have a lot. We only have one that I'm aware of that does haunted attraction.
Yeah.
Soon, maybe a second. We may have another coming online.
Ah, I'd love to hear that.
But we may have one, another one coming online. But yeah, right now we have just one that I'm aware of, which is frustrating because you go up to like we were in Illinois. Northern Illinois, and yeah, you see all those cornfields, and you're like, oh my god! Like we talked about the maze, the haunted the conference. They're visiting 9 attractions near Chicago. Like, yeah, I'm a little jealous of that.
Yeah, there's definitely like a belt, you know, right there in the heartland. So it's you know, Midwest and the heartland, man. It's there's a lot of them, but part of the good thing though too is though even though you may have in some areas of the country you may have a lot of what seem to be competing haunted farms, you know, we see a lot of willingness for haunted farms to work together. That sometimes we don't see with kind of traditional indoor haunts. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't know, you know, maybe that's just because of the nature of the farmer, you know, I mean, I don't really know what is behind it. I mean, I can only hypothesize about it. Right. But, it's just an interesting observation.
It's a good thing. And we've always said on this podcast, other haunted attractions aren't your competition. That's pretty much never the case. It's never, I'm going to go to, you know, the mortuary or the House of Shock or whatever. It's people go to multiple haunts. You know, what's your competition is that concert they could be going to that night, that movie they could be consuming their Friday or Saturday night. It's, you know, the other things they could be doing with their time other than going to haunts.
Right.
And and I'm glad that this is an industry that's more cooperative. Because like you said, there is, at least in some areas, other communities of bear noticed. I've seen parts of the country where the pettiness between haunts is legion, and that gets very annoying very quickly.
Yeah.
And inevitably, you always have like the one haunt in the group that doesn't play nice, right? There's always like little clusters up here in our area, right? And generally, all the haunted attraction owners, you know, they know each other, they get along, they're friendly, they're cordial, sometimes do cross promotion. But there's always that one kid in the sandbox doesn't play nice, likes to hit people with shovels. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
good point. Good point. But yeah, so this is, like I said, amazing work. And by the way, if you go to their site, I am listed as a resource. I just wanted to highlight that because I'm proud of that. But yeah, the Haunted Farms of America is such a great organization. They do so much good work in this area. And if you have a haunted farm, if you're into agritourism, look, if you're not a member, I don't know what the hell is wrong with you. Basic membership is free. I mean, this one's on you, buddy, not me. Basic membership is free, and they offer some consultancy plans. It's just, yeah, there's so much good information here and so many resources that aren't named Jonathan Bailey. There are others. And Benjamin and Alexis are, of course, two of them. But yeah, so that is Haunted Farms in America in a nutshell. Obviously, we could spend the entire hour talking about that. We could spend much more time talking about that. But we do have another announcement from you guys. You and Alexis made an acquisition.
We did.
All right. Would you care to expound?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is really our kind of first official public announcement of it. So back in July of 2017, we purchased a company by the name of Vampfangs. Vampfangs.com is a 25-year-old e-commerce business. So it was founded here in Salem, which is my hometown, back in 1993. And we were kind of the benefactors of great timing and the right circumstance to be able to purchase this company, which has allowed us to now kind of focus our full-time attention on all of our businesses. So this is now between Vampfangs, Haunted Farms, and our other projects. This is kind of our daily life, which is exciting.
I did not realize that like Haunted Farms America was not your full-time gig. What were you doing before this?
A little bit of everything, man.
Okay, fair enough.
Jack of all trades, doing everything, man.
You know what? I understand that a little all too well.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, really for a while there, it was you know, both her and I, you kind of work your full time job, and then you work your second full time job. Being Haunted Farms of America, some nights and weekends kind of burn the midnight oil. But with the purchase of Vampfangs, that really it freed up so much of our time, and we're excited not only for what we're going to be able to do with Vampfangs, but also the fact that this freed up a lot of time for us to focus more of our time on Haunted Farms as well. So that's super exciting.
Can I just say this may be the first time I've ever heard the words, this acquisition freed up so much of our time, and from the acquirer. I'm not sure how to feel about that one.
I mean, I know it sounds weird, right? But I feel like feeling like you've got free time. I think. Let's see. How should I put this? You could work 40 hours a week for somebody else, and not feel like you have any free time.
Right.
You could work 80 hours a week for yourself and feel like you have so much freedom, it's endless.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a beautiful saying.
That is actually
way to phrase that.
Surprisingly beautiful from an industry that likes to scare the hell out of people.
But yeah, so I mean, so with this, with the Vampfangs acquisition, I mean, it's, I mean, just a super excited. I mean, for people who aren't familiar with kind of what this company does and kind of what we do. So Vampfang's got its start on the streets of Salem, you know, custom fitting vampire fangs, right here on Essex Street. It was actually when I was a kid, down there on Essex Street, actually the previous owner, and founder of Vampfang, Scott Smilage, was actually, the first person who actually fit my fangs. Now I had no idea at the time, this was only like going back, or, you know, kind of looking back and talking with him as we were kind of going through, getting to know each other and things like that. I'm like, oh shit, man, you're the one that fit my freaking fangs. You know, like it was just insane. But I mean, it's become so much more. We now have kind of four main categories. Our biggest sellers, Gothica contact lenses, so theatrical and effects lenses, but beauty and cosmetic lenses as well. Vampire fangs, teeth veneers. And then we have fragrance, which we are looking forward to really expanding this year. And also apparel. We just launched an apparel line that is available on Vampfangs as well. And so super excited about each of those categories.
Yeah. And do you have any tips for someone who, you know, hasn't worn contacts before? Because I'm looking at your sale on them right now, your site.
Mm-hmm. Massive sale, by the way.
Yes.
50% off everything in the store right now to celebrate our 25th anniversary. I think that coupon does end, I think, on Saturday.
Where this goes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, well, everyone is disappointed.
Well, no. Here's the thing, man. If you would like, we could set up a promo code or something, coupon code, for listeners of the show. And we will kind of get them their own private code, and we'll kind of get that discount to them.
All right. Yeah. What we'll do is we'll put that in the show notes. So if you want, that way you can develop it. If you want to do it live,
yeah,
you can make the code. It's Haunt Weekly. It's the podcast. Haunt Weekly could be the code.
Yeah. Let's do that.
There it is.
The code. So
Haunt Weekly.
Yep. So good news, everyone that was disappointed in that coupon code. We're doing it live. This is such a planned out podcast, if you couldn't tell. We planned this meticulously.
I may get a teddy bear.
Oh. Crystal's Christmas shopping, I think. So we'll talk to her later.
So Crystal, you were asking about kind of how you go about the contact lens process. And I'd love just to take a minute or two just to kind of give you kind of the big picture on it.
Because this is something, by the way, a lot of actors I know run into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I've always wanted to try them out, but I've always been scared to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I used to wear contacts. I got the LASIK. And by the way, recommended. But
they don't turn your eyes cool colors.
No, they do not. LASIK does not turn your eye cool colors. No. That is the one great limitation of LASIK. But yes.
So if you want to kind of start,
please,
going towards that, you know, playing with some FX contacts and stuff. I mean, first and foremost, number one step in the process is to schedule an appointment with an eye doctor. In the United States, all contact lenses are considered medical devices, and all sellers of contact lenses in the United States are required to verify prescriptions 100% of the time. And there's a misconception out that I think a lot of people have. They think, well, I don't need prescription contact lenses. I know my vision is 20/20. However, even if you have perfect vision and you only need plano lenses, you are still required to get a prescription from a doctor. This is
now. Is it that way in other countries?
Sorry,
is it that way in other countries? Do you know?
Yeah. A lot of places are not like that, and that's why you see a lot of online sellers selling contact lenses online from China or Korea or where, you know, pick your country, right?
Yeah, that doesn't sound so hot. Well, I'm going to be honest.
Right.
Go ahead.
And that is something I definitely didn't know, because, you know, some of the gas stations around here sell them.
Oh, no. Oh, please, please do me a favor. Don't ever buy a pair of contact lenses at a gas station and pop them in.
I know a little bit more than that.
It's sitting right next to the rose in the glass vial. So, I'm not buying that.
Right.
Anybody who knows what the rose in the glass vial is knows why we're laughing. So.
We sell all the contact lenses that we sell at FamFangs are FDA cleared. So they've been cleared by the FDA. The manufacturer of the lenses has a 510K certificate, which is basically like a stamp of approval, so to speak, or, you know, it's a license or certificate certifying that your product is safe for sale, legal for sale. And so as part of that too, the lenses are, all the theatrical lenses that we have right now are a Gothica brand. Gothica is probably one of the leading brands, here in the United States. We're proud to be, one of the largest sellers of them here. Manufactured direct, there's no middleman. We're dealing directly with the lab, and bringing them right to you, which is why we're able to get such great pricing for you. But please, 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 if you're interested, step one, visit you with your eye doctor. Sometimes what ends up happening is you may have a condition with your eye that you weren't even aware of that may preclude you from wearing contact lenses, or you may figure out that the shape of your eye is a little bit different. And if you had worn just kind of a standard contact lens, you cause yourself some problems. And so I highly advise people to spend the money. And it's depending on where you are in the country and kind of who your eye doctor is. Just a contact lens fitting is really all you need. It can be $50 or $100, and that prescription is good for in most places 2 years. But so it could be 1 year or 2 year. Man, I tell you, spend that $50 or $100 because that is, I'm not playing games with my eyes. So I'll do it the right way.
And let's be honest, you should be seeing an eye doctor every year anyway. So just maybe the next time you're there for an appointment, say, hey, I like a contact lens fitting while I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about getting some theatrical contact lens. Okay, they'll probably help you out.
Well, I will bring that up whenever I schedule mine.
Yes, yep. You can. And you that... That'd be a good time.
And you should be right up front with them too. Tell them that the reason why you're interested in this is for cosmetic lenses, is for theatrical lenses. Right. And make sure they're open to it. Make sure that they understand where you're purchasing them from. Because even the doctors, some of the doctors are kind of hesitant in some cases to give us approval, because they're so used to seeing so many shady sellers out there and so many unsafe
like the ones at the gas station,
like the ones at the gas station next to the rose in the vial. Yes.
Oh man. But like you said, I don't play with my eyes either.
No.
It's one of the reasons I got LASIK was because for me, contact lenses were insanely frustrating, even when they were fitted properly. And that's just it. This other thing is there's no shame in contact lenses not being for you. That's something I would say from a personal perspective. Because
I have a hard time with lenses myself, and this is kind of weird hearing this from a co-owner of a large contact lens seller, right? I have astigmatism in my eye, and I also have a very sharp reflex. Anytime anything gets close to my eye,
oh, absolutely.
And so like I have a hell of a time getting a lens in my eye. So this year, what I actually may do, I may go down to the doctor and go through the entire process, and have some custom lenses made for me, and try to go through this process. And maybe I'll videotape it and show everyone the kind of process as I'm going through. It could be kind of fun to watch.
Sounds good. I'd be interested in that. I know when I had contact, I had a contact actually. I had one eye that was perfect and one eye that was basically nearly legally blind. So I was walking in circles everywhere. It was, but I know when I would put it in because of that reflex, I'd have to like sneak it into myself to get it to go in. And that was just not a good way to start a morning. But yes, I know people that can like put it in and just go and not have any issues. And it's an amazing thing. And I hate them.
Yeah.
I hate all of them.
Okay, I'll be sure to mention that to Ellie.
Yeah, please do. Please do. When she does that, I absolutely get so jealous. Like, oh, yeah, just play Contacts and Bite. When?
Yeah.
For me, it was like an ordeal. It was like cat fighting sounds going on. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah,
but
me too.
You talk about custom fang fittings. Of course, fan fangs, that's going to be a lead area. Talk about custom fitting fangs. I'm actually really curious about this.
Mm-hmm. So we're one of the largest distributors and sellers of a brand called Scarecrow Vampire Fangs. Mm-hmm. Scarecrow Vampire Fangs got their start about 25 years ago as well. They're celebrating their milestone this year also. So we have a very close relationship with Scarecrow, and they do some private label stuff for us. So we do have kind of two styles, kind of the subtle and the classics, that are kind of branded as Vamp Fangs brand. There's all kinds of different kind of fangs and teeth out there, and I'm sure you've probably played with some of them. You know, you've got some other ones that are, you know, you have to mold the beads, and you've got plastic, and you've got like plastic like spilling out the sides, and it kind of looks ridiculous and all over your gums and everything else, and kind of just doesn't look quite right. And then the custom fit Scarecrow fangs, or custom molded Scarecrow fangs, it is the only patented tooth cap on the market in the fang world. It's literally a cap that you mix the ingredients, which makes like kind of like a putty or a paste until it sets up. Once you fill the fang with that, and you set it on your teeth, it kind of instantly takes the impression. In about 5 minutes time, you can pop those fangs right off, and now they're a quick on off, and they're literally like just snap onto your teeth, custom fit to your own, whether you choose to your canines or lateral inside, whichever teeth you choose to do. And unless your teeth kind of drastically shift or change, which isn't very likely that one individual tooth is going to change shape that much, but we've talked with some people who have had their set of fangs for 10 years, and they're still using them. So
that's really impressive.
Yeah,
super high quality. I'm like, well, come back. You need a new pair. It's 10 years.
You know? Exactly. That's what I'm wondering is, how are you not out of business if it takes 10 years to...
Honestly, I can't keep anything for 10 years because I lose it. That's just a separate problem. That's a me issue. Hey, and Crystal's raising her hand. Like, I keep people. People are not things. There's a difference. I keep trying to lose you. You keep coming back.
That's probably
we've been true. Over this. But anyway, so yeah, and those are the two areas for Haunters I know are going to be the big ones, are the custom fitted fangs and the theatrical lenses, and those are both absolutely amazing, amazing work on both of those. Mm-hmm. And I've actually saw some of the Vamp fangs. They were at HauntCon, weren't they? I'm remembering this correctly.
Scarecrow was there. Yeah,
Scarecrow mm-hmm. was sorry, not yep. Van Bank, but yeah. Scarecrow yep. was there. They were doing fittings.
Yeah, they did some fittings right there.
Yeah, and I was watching the process, and it was quite amazing. And they did seem to stay. Unlike, you know, I think I'm cursed with like lesser fangs. I've never been able to get fangs that feel right. I always talk with a lisp when I wore fangs in the past. It was kind of comical. Actually, I was snaggle tooth, but yeah, these obviously would probably not have that problem.
any fake teeth, or whether it be like a full veneer set or anything that alters the way that the air is going to move, you know, when you're parsing your tongue to make the sounds, it is going to alter it, right? I mean, the level of warpness, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, kind of varies from person to person, but it definitely does distort to some degree. But it just comes with the territory. We sell some veneers so the veneers are like that cover like your full top set or your full bottom set, depending on which set you buy. Those ones, we've got some that are just like super clunky, right? Like you put them in and like, good luck talking with them. Like these ones are like zombie teeth.
Not for an actor with words.
Right. Like, you know, it's like a zombie set of teeth or something like that. You know what I mean? And so it's okay if you sound like you have a mouthful of marbles, because you're only supposed to be groaning and making sounds anyways. So it kind of works out there.
Yeah, and that's a good point to make. The veneers, and that's something that kind of confused me initially, the veneers cover like the whole teeth. It's like a full, like almost, you would think of almost like full dentures, but over correct. Your current teeth.
Correct.
And then you have the individual fangs, which just fit over the respective teeth, which it's teeth and teeth. It's kind of confusing, but you know, in two teeth that they go over. So yeah, I think that's an important distinction. Cause I know a lot of actors are going to want to go for either the full mouth effect where you need the veneer, mm-hmm. or if you're going to talk, by for the love of God, and get the just the fangs.
Right.
So that way no one's asking what the whole night. So
I know that like the fangs and the you know, and the contact lenses, those are obviously probably the two biggest categories of interest for the haunters, right?
Yeah, but you also have cosmetics and other things.
Yeah, I mean
effects stuff.
Yeah. So we get some effects makeup there. We got some Tinsley transfers on there. Just, you know, we've got a lot of various stuff. I think that one of you know, Alexis and mine kind of goals is to really, particularly over the next 12 months, you know, reach out, talk to people who have been loyal VampFang shoppers for years and years, and just, you know, figure out what people are looking for, figure out what they want, and try to really, you know, become a mainstay 12 months a year, because, you know, we're always providing them something for some event, right? There's always some convention. There's always some cosplay event. There's something, you know, going on all year round. So,
and there's just goth night at every, which is tonight, by the way, locally. So, you know, see what we're giving up to talk to, you know.
We actually just wrote a blog post on vampthanks.com, the best goth bars in the U.S.
Yes, so. And I was disappointed New Orleans didn't even get a mention.
Ah, well, because here's the thing is that, and this is like a little inside information here, is that New Orleans and Louisiana is actually going to have more of a presence, kind of as a whole on VampFangs. It's kind of a fun story, fun connection. When we were down at HauntCon visiting and vending, we took a vampire tour down there.
Yes.
And our tour guide was absolutely phenomenal. She was an unbelievable storyteller, and she was a great speaker. And she saw our coats and on our jackets, we have vamp fangs embroidered on them. And she saw that and she was just like, oh my God, I've been shopping at Vamp Fangs for 20 years. and like, it was just super cool. And so, we reached out, we connected with her, kept in contact, and we're going to be developing a lot of content, based out of New Orleans. So, New Orleans and Louisiana doesn't just get a mention in a blog post. We're gonna dedicate a lot more resources to Louisiana.
And it's hard to choose a good goth bar in New Orleans, because New Orleans pretty much is a goth bar if you think about it on a fundamental level.
The whole city was
kind of constructed that way. I mean, when you bury your dead above ground, the rest just kind of falls into place. You're gonna have a morbid mentality, but yeah, so. You've given a hint some of your plans over the next, you know, a little bit with fan things. What else are you looking to add? Where else are you looking to expand? What are you looking to change?
So I think, one of our big focuses for this upcoming year really is with the Gothical lenses. Right now, we offer a lot of lenses that are available in plano, you know, just non-corrective. And a lot of our styles are available in corrective strengths from 0 to -6. And over the course of the next couple of months, we're going to be rolling out a whole line of custom hand-painted lenses. And they're going to be available from the correction range -20 to +20, which is just massive. Yeah, so we'll be able to serve... wide range.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what my prescription was. I think it was something like negative 13 or something like that. I was pretty rough in that eye.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
That was pretty rough. But yeah, wow, positive to negative 20. That is insanity.
Huge range. Huge.
Yeah, that would open it up for a lot of people who haven't been able to wear them before.
Like if I hadn't had LASIK, I could not wear theatrical contacts because I'd be pretty much blind in one eye.
And then you'd be walking around in circles again.
Exactly. We're back where we started.
But also lenses for, you know, toric lenses for people with astigmatisms. We're going to be rolling that out as well. So we'll be adding to the site also scleral lenses, which are the ones that cover your entire eye.
Right.
Obviously, you have a lot less wear time kind of on a per session with a lens like that, for a breathability for your eye health. But I mean, we're looking to really, really expand offerings there. And even though it may seem like kind of lesser of a category, but, I'm going to touch back on is the fragrance and apparel. If you are into anything like occulty and kind of witchy and stuff like that, I definitely invite you to look at the Dark Alchemy apparel line. Everything there was designed with intention and purpose. And they actually are, they include runes and they are like spells for like one of our top sellers is Life Eternal. And that's actually a spell for life, for immortality. And so they're really designed with a lot of thought. And then our fragrances, when you've got fragrances that have names like Funeral Parlor, Omen, Salem Witch Shop, which, by the way, if you've ever been to Salem and you've gone into a witch shop and you loved that smell, I would invite you to get a bottle of Salem Witch Shop because it is uncanny how exact it smells.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, all of that and much, much more is at vampfangs.com. So check all that out. I mean, and a lot of neat stuff for haunters and just the gothy kids, too. Gothy kids. I call myself a kid here. I'm 37. I call myself a kid still.
Me too.
I choose to live as a child.
Me too, man. Me too. But you don't have to be goth, though, man. I mean,
yeah.
You know, cosplayers. I mean, there's
true.
Huge market, man. Huge market. One thing, and I'll throw this out there to you guys too, because I know we'll be sending you some products. So if you'd like to get in on it, we're also asking for submissions right now. So if you'd like to be, if you're a Vamp Fangs fan and a follower and you want to be featured in one of our blogs and our social media, we're looking for submissions. And so for the entire month remaining, for the remaining days in March, we're going to be featuring one person per day. And if we choose you, you get 25 Vamp Bucks, which are good to be redeemed in the store. You get just cool shit, man. You get featured on the site and, you know, it's lots of good exposure. Good feels.
Very cool.
What should people write about?
Yeah.
Obviously product.
So here's the thing, right? I mean, if you, it's photos. It's photos and a blurb about yourself.
Okay. So you just want, photos of people wearing their merch and a little bit about them.
Yeah.
I think it can be arranged.
The only thing you have to do to enter is go to the Facebook page and just click the message us button. And all you have to do is type in the phrase, submit my photos. And the sequence will start and it'll walk you right through it.
Cool.
Okay, I got one of those Facebook chatbots doing it.
Ah.
Very cool. I like that. That's clever. I've not actually thought of that use of the Facebook chat box. Chat box is totally different. I don't know what it is, but I know it's totally different. Well, Benjamin, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It has been a wonderful time, very educational. Learned all about the Haunted Farms of America, which is farmhaunts.com, and the recent acquisition of Vamp Fangs, vampfangs.com, all the contact lenses, custom-fitted fangs, clothing, makeup, so much stuff there. It's actually a lot to parse through in one episode, but so much neat stuff. You do so much for the haunt community. Thank you for all that you do both at both projects, really.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And thanks for having us on.
I'm glad. And I'm glad now that you found some free time now that you have an extra job. I'm glad that worked out for you, man. But I greatly appreciate you coming on and sharing everything. And once again, the coupon code is Haunt Weekly for the good savings there at Vamp Things. Mm-hmm. So once again, Benjamin, thank you very much. And if you need anything from me, you know where to reach us. You have our number. You know where we live. So don't kill us, please. but until next time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, interviewing Benjamin Selecki of Haunted Farms of America and VampFangs.com. Thank you, Benjamin. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will see you guys next time.